thank you for tuning into this first episode of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Intel Podcast. I am Dan Groff, Director of the Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis and Associate Professor of Economics at McNeese State University, as well as economist with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. So for our first episode today, we have Jim Rock, the Executive Director of the Lake Area Industry Alliance. Prior to being the director, Jim received a degree in mechanical engineering from the University of Alabama. He has worked for PPG, Axiall, and Lotte. Apart from his duties at LAIA, he also serves on numerous boards and is a member of many professional and community organizations that would take way too long to name for this podcast. So thank you so much for agreeing to be the first guest as we work through this and see how it goes. But thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate being the guinea pig or the guest here, first guest. Always good to work with you.
Yep. And so this is about the Southwest Louisiana economy is what we're aiming to do and inform people about. And when you think about the Southwest Louisiana economy, a lot of people think of the industry, the manufacturing, all the plants you drive by. And so the Lake Area Industry Alliance, to me, really represents all that. So can you tell us a little bit about the Lake Area Industry Alliance and how you came to represent it?
Sure. Yeah, the organization started around 2000, and back then it was just a handful of plants that got together, formed a 501c3, and started to meet monthly with the purpose of trying to educate the public, educate elected officials and other community leaders as to what the industries do, how do we do it, how do we best integrate ourselves into the community and be good citizens.
Oh, okay. And
so that was back in 2000. So now we're in 2023, and we currently have about 24 members that represent over 8,000 direct employees, another 4,000 or so contract employees that are permanently in the site. So about 12,000 households in Southwest Louisiana get part of their income from the industries.
Oh, okay. And what industries are represented?
It started out with primarily chemical manufacturing and refinery. So we have the two large refineries here, Citgo and Phillips 66 are members, but also quite a few chemical manufacturing facilities. And now in the last few years, we've incorporated the LNG export facility. So we have three members that are in that business. And then there's other members that either provide services like pipeline services or waste disposal services that are also members.
So more like, and so supporting industries as well.
Right.
Yeah, because that, like I said at the beginning, when we think of the Southwest Louisiana economy, you hear terms like industries and industrial base and our manufacturing base, you know, just terms that are thrown around. And it's like we know it because we drive by it and we see it every day. And I'm guilty of just saying industrial base, but what do you think of when you hear the term industrial base or, you know, as head of LAIA?
Yeah, that's a good question. And really, some people think about the 8,000 employees or maybe the 12,000 if you throw in the 4,000 contractors that are there every day. But when I think about the industrial base, I think it's everybody whose income is derived one way or another from the industries. And that's got very broad legs. So that would include people in the transportation business, so people that operate the railroads and the pipelines and maintain the interstate highway, the shipping channel, the deep water shipping channel we have that connects us to the world where we can get raw materials in, deliver our products out. So all the riverboat pilots in the Port of Lake Charles are certainly part of that. And if you continue down that path, fabrication shops and welding shops and anybody that produces anything or sells anything that goes into the industries is what I would consider that base. How many jobs that is, I don't know, but it's in excess. You know, I mentioned about 12,000 jobs earlier. It's well over 20,000. It might be 30,000 or more.
Yeah, and you get a lot of ripple effects throughout the economy and impacts that you always hear about. And so it obviously plays like a really important role in the Southwest Louisiana economy.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. And it's really hard to measure because it's reaches so far.
And how long have you been in Lake Charles now?
Well, been in Lake Charles, moved here in 1977. You mentioned I graduated from the University of Alabama. So as soon as I graduated, I came to Lake Charles. Prior to that, I'd never heard of Lake Charles before, never been in Louisiana before. But I was here for 30 years until 2007. 2007, I transferred with PPG to lead their site in West Virginia, and I was up there for 7 years from 2007 to 14. Came back here to Lake Charles in 14. It was Axial by then, and I was a site manager over the South and North plants, and did that for about 2.5 years, then retired from Axial for an opportunity with Lotte Chemical when they were building a new $3 billion plus facility here to be the executive director on that project. And fortunately for me, as that project was winding down, Larry Duracell, who had been the initial executive director for LAI after 18 long years, decided he was going to finally retire, and he contacted me and asked if I'd be interested in it. It sounded like the perfect soft landing, if you will, into retirement.
Oh, okay.
Hadn't been as soft as I thought it was going to be, but that's okay.
Yeah, you seem pretty busy.
it's good busy. I really enjoy, so blessed to be in the right place at the right time, and I think it's a good fit for me. Keeps me active and involved, and gives me the opportunity to do a lot of things that I've always wanted to do.
So you've been mostly in the area since 77.
Right.
So for the economy, have you seen the Lake Charles economy change over that time, if at all?
Well, the part of the economy that I'm most familiar with, of course, is the industry. So the industries have changed. Some of the products that we make change. Some of the names on the plants have changed. There's been mergers and acquisitions, and some plants have gone away, and other plants have come in to replace them. But we were talking earlier about all the downstream jobs. That's been a constant. And when I moved here, I'd never been in a place that was this heavily industrialized, or if it was, I wasn't aware of it. But I know when I first moved here, and I would tell people I worked for PPG, that was like I got the gold pass to just about whatever I wanted. And that told me right off the bat, this is really a heavy industrial-based community, and one that respects the industry, and hopefully that'll stay the case.
But you were here mostly since 1977, but you're from Pittsburgh, you said?
Birmingham.
No, you went to Pittsburgh. Sorry. Right?
I spent a lot of time in Pittsburgh. And actually, Birmingham's known as the Pittsburgh of the South.
Oh, okay.
Because of the steel, hereditary steel mills that were there that originated in Pittsburgh.
And West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do those areas compare? And other places you've seen, like, you notice big differences in the economies between those areas?
Sure.
What makes Southwest Louisiana kind of unique in your eyes?
I think what makes it unique is our long history in the industry. The industry started here in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. So long, long history. It's hard to meet somebody, a neighbor or somebody in a grocery store that either hadn't worked in the plant, knows somebody that works in the plant, has a neighbor that works in the plants. And it's just, that's been consistent. And they've been a consistent contributor to the economy of Southwest Louisiana, and really the mainstay. West Virginia had some chemical manufacturing, didn't have any refineries that I'm aware of, but they did have other sorts of manufacturing in rubber, in flooring, and briquettes that you use in your charcoal pit and things like that. But their big thing up there was coal. It was a big coal mining state. Mm-hmm. A lot of our employees were descendants of coal miners. And, coal was pretty much king in West Virginia. And, of course, that's changing. And while I was up there in that 2007 to 14 time period, hydraulic fracking came in place. And so that became a big deal in West Virginia because they were on the southern end of the Marcellus shale formation. Mm-hmm. And actually, at PPG, we leased a couple thousand acres to a developer, and we were fracking right on our property.
So the Marcellus goes into West Virginia?
Yeah.
I think of Pennsylvania when I think of Marcellus, but it's that whole area.
It encompasses probably about 90% of Pennsylvania, but the southern tip of it extends well into West Virginia.
Wow. So we've had industry here for a long time, and it's been a main driver. And we all know about the storms. When I look at the data, manufacturing employment is back, from the storms, and I think even COVID. But what I wanted to ask is, how has COVID affected the industries you represent? Because COVID was such a large shock locally, nationally, globally. You know, right. How has it affected the industries you represent that actually produce things, you know?
Well, there's been two lasting impacts, and I'll mention those in a second. But just wanted to point out, when I got into this job, it was about 3 months before COVID started. So I think last year was my first normal year, post-COVID.
I moved back to McNeese like 1 year before COVID. Yeah, exactly.
But I think the two lasting impacts of COVID, of course, it impacted us tremendously on how we staff and had everybody working remotely that could possibly work remotely. And we had to be very conscious, because some of the jobs in the plants, the operators, you only have so many operators trained on certain units. Mm-hmm. And so if you had too many to get COVID and couldn't come to work, you were really in a bind. So it was really a scheduling challenge for the plants themselves. That also, I'd never heard of a Zoom call before COVID, and now I'm a Zoom expert, I think, from all the Zoom time I spent. Mm-hmm. And so what that introduced, which is still there today, is the fact that people from very remote locations can communicate a lot better. It used to be just telephone calls, you'd have conference calls, but with Zoom you can share slides and share presentations, and people that are in Pittsburgh, you know, they don't have to fly to Lake Charles to participate in a meeting, they can do it from Pittsburgh. And, you know, I'm in Zoom calls all the time with people from Baton Rouge, just don't want to make a two-hour round, you know, one-way drive over here. And so I think that Zoom will be here, yeah. Not to the extent it was during COVID, of course, but I think that opened up a different channel of communication between people remotely. The other thing is that we learned more about people that did not have to work at the plant. You didn't have to be in the plant. So, you know, a lot of administrative duties, procurement, some accounting, some HR functions. We learned that, you know, they don't need to be inside the fence line. They can be remote. So a couple of facilities have either leased or purchased or built even buildings outside their fence line and away from the manufacturing site, which makes it easier. They don't have to go through security. It's easier for them to have visitors with vendors and other people. So I think there's going to be more of a move to have just people in the plant that have to be in the plant to operate it.
Wow, so a lot more virtual stuff. Do you ever give virtual site visits or anything like that?
I'm not familiar with any, okay. But that would be, you'd have to have a
you never know.
Camera. Yeah. You never, well, yeah. I mean, 10 years ago, I never would have imagined what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. And if you were to ask me, what are we going to be doing 10 years from now, I'd have to say, I don't know. It'd be a wild guess.
Now, some of the hardest question I always ask, and that I get asked all the time, is to tell the future, and I don't believe anybody can. But where do you see the Southwest Louisiana economy going in the near future, or even longer term? Or how do you think your industries might change?
Yeah, well, I think the industries have been good at pivoting. So the products demanded by the consumers have changed in the last 45 years since I've been in the industry. They're going to change a lot more in the next 45 years. But refrigerants in your car is one example. So one time everybody had Freon 12,
yep.
And then they were getting rid of, and PPG made the feedstocks for Freon 12. Well, they were phasing out 12 and going into R134 or 134A. And so PPG had to modify our equipment, and all of a sudden now we're making feedstocks for 134A. So I think whatever the demand is of the consumers, which I expect a lot of changes in the next 20 years or so, the plants are very flexible as far as adapting and converting their existing equipment or adding new equipment to meet the demands of the future. You know, there's a lot of concern about climate change now, so I anticipate the next, you know, a few years, a lot more carbon capture. You've heard of carbon capture and sequestration and enriched oil recovery for carbon. And we're in a very good place for that. And the reason for that is we have a lot of CO2 emissions from the facilities, as well as up and down I-10 corridor and the railroads and the ships that come and go. So we've got some stuff here to work with. We have a tremendous array of pipelines that can transmit that material from one place to another. And we've got the perfect geology from, you know, many thousands of years ago, ancient seabeds evaporated. And so we've got this alkaline base that's, 5,000 or 6,000 feet down, but it's accessible by well. So that's a perfect place to permanently sequester carbon and CO and CO2. And all we're really doing is the carbon that originated underground. You know, we brought it up, used what we needed, and then just putting it back where it came from. I think it's a very sound and proven technology, and one that's going to be much more in demand. And I think you'll see more and more companies explore that and spend money and investment and technology.
Yeah, it's really amazing what technology is going to be doing in the coming decades.
Yeah.
I can't even keep track of everything that's happening. But I'm glad you brought up climate change, because environmental concerns are always at the forefront of talking points, and the people are worried about global warming, emissions, all that. And what's LAIA's position on environmental concerns and the environment of the Lake Charles area and all Louisiana, you know?
Yeah, well, LAIA's got about half a dozen committees. One of those committees is an environmental committee. So we're constantly looking at regulatory issues, trying to anticipate coming events that are going to take place that might impact us. At a recent board meeting, we had two experts in environmental justice come and lecture not only our board of directors, but also our environmental committee and our communications committee to learn more about what the environmental justice or EJ screening tools are and how to use them and how to make sure you have the smallest impact possible on any community in which you operate in. And so it's going to be a constant learning learning curve.
So they came and talked to you, and now you actually have to implement it.
It was more of an educational tool than anything else, just to educate us on what it looks like now, what it might look like in the future, and what kind of plans do we need to have and start working on to make sure we're compliant.
Wow.
And respectful of the communities in which we work, which we also live here too.
Yeah. Well, the time just flew by. We could talk probably about so much other stuff, but we want to keep it, you know, short, and everybody can listen. And thank you so much for coming and talking to us. And we'll probably have you back in a little while to see what's changed, because things are changing so quickly. So thank you.
That's a certainty. All right. Thank you.
All right. This show is presented by the H.C. Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University in partnership with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. You can find more information about our regional economy at www.mcneesedrewecon.org.